This is Jim Burke, and this is County Connections, and we're just getting a slightly late start. This is KPTZ in Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. And today we have my co-host, Greg Brotherton, and Brent Butler. Hi. Hi, guys. Hello. Hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm well. You can hear me now?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Oh, great.
We're doing good a Verizon commercial now.
Yeah, sorry. I'm in Seattle today with family, but wanted to take a moment. I'm really excited to be here with Brent Butler today, and kind of we have a concept that I'd love to bring back as we move forward into Brent's new role. We're going to call today's section "Big Ideas with Brent Butler," and that's basically as of June 1st, Brent is moving into a new role as Chief Strategy Officer at our Department of Community Development. And so, welcome, Brent. And I'm wondering if you can maybe take a little time and talk about a couple of the big programs that we've had on the burners. They've been on the back burners and the front burners, and getting you in this new position is going to let us really move them to the front. So,
welcome. Thank you, Greg. Thank you. And I would really thank the board for acknowledging the need that the community's identified. And so those big projects that Commissioner Brotherton mentioned include: how do we incentivize affordable housing? How do we incentivize our agricultural sector? And so one of those programs is known as the C-PACER program, which is a commercial property assessed clean energy and resiliency. And so what that program does is it enables the community members to amortize over a longer period that debt that they have on their property, making it more financially sustainable. Thank you. And so we're trying to move this forward at all of our speed, because we've recognized the Port Ludlow Associates. We've heard from one of our buildings that's on the Department of Archaeology's list of threatened buildings that they could benefit from this. We've also heard from an affordable housing developer, Bayside Housing, that they could benefit from it. So C-PACER is one of those programs. Another one really goes to the heart of providing people in the community opportunities for lower cost housing. That's our stock plans. And so stock plans are plans that you can come in and pick up off the shelf and develop. We're trying to make sure that the plans that we have available are ones that community members can use their own sweat equity to reduce the cost. Another project is, we have been identified as a community that needs to be audited. So FEMA is going to audit all of the properties on our shorelines and our floodplains.
Wow.
And so part of that requires us to make sure that we have been implementing the flood damage prevention regulations as required. And so I'm doing that work in preparation for FEMA's audit. So those are the big three. And I want to talk about the little three, and I don't think they're really little because they're big as well. And one of them is UGA zoning. We are about to have one of our most significant projects, $30 million of sewer lines, a pump station is in the process of being developed in Port Hadlock and Irondale. But we need to address some of the constraints in the first phase for affordable housing. So the UGA zoning is another big area. And then just the last two. We have a coordinated water system plan that's supposed to ensure that water is available for all members of the community. Our plan is so outdated, more than 20 years old. We need to update that. And then finally, short-term rentals, finding a balance between meeting the needs of tourists and the workforce. That's the big six.
Wow. Well, we got lots to talk about here, obviously. So for our listeners, a UGA is an urban growth area, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so we're one is being created in Port Hadlock because of the sewer. There's a limited amount of space in Port Townsend where an urban growth area can be, because Port Townsend's running out of space generally. So I almost want to work backwards here. Brent. So you mentioned the water system, the urban growth area, and what was the third thing of the small things you were talking about?
Before, Jim, can I interrupt for 1 second before
you may,
we go back? I'd love
certainly.
To talk about these in detail. And,
okay.
You know, a lot of them have a lot of, these are driven by the public wanting this program.
Yep.
C-PACER especially was brought to us as a program that we could investigate. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make sure that if it's okay with you, open it up to listeners to send in questions, big idea questions
yes.
about land use planning to the DJ at kptz.org.
DJ at kptz.org, listeners, if you have a question for Brent Butler, who is the head now of the Department of Community Development, is that correct? And
correct.
Greg Brotherton, your county commissioner. So if you have questions for either of them or even for me, I don't know anything, so don't ask me anything. but DJ at kptz.org. All right.
Great. Thank you. And I'm back to the question, please.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, we could do it backwards or forwards, Brent. You've got a lot on your plate, obviously. So let's talk about the UGA and the water system in Hadlock and the sewer in Hadlock, because I know those three things are all related, aren't they?
Yes. And so when we are looking at our urban growth area, we're about to roll out within a portion of Port Hadlock the availability of sewer.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a project that's been we've been working on it for more than 20 years.
Wow.
I would say that we've been really fortunate to have a really capable public works team.
Mm-hmm.
And then also our electeds have been able to secure nearly $30 million of funding. So now we're at the point where the sewer is coming out, but we do have some issues with zoning,
right.
meaning that we have some areas that are designated as commercial. And when I say designated as commercial, I mean that they were zoned to allow commercial uses.
Mm-hmm.
They were not zoned to allow multifamily.
Oh, okay.
And so this is the problem, that we need to address our community need for housing of all types. And so we need to change the zoning. And so, but changing the zoning is not such a simple task.
Apparently.
It requires outreach. It requires understanding what a change would do to mobility, what a change will do to local economics. And so we're working on that. That's going to be one of the biggest projects. As soon as the sewer is ready and available, we want to make sure that our property owners in those areas could actually develop housing.
Is it also possible, Greg? I'm sorry, Brent, to have live-abovs, so commercial/residential zoning, where you have commercial properties on the ground floor, on the street, and then above you have apartments or shops that have live above apartments for people who own a business?
Yes. And what you're referring to is almost one of the classic styles of development,
right.
where we call that mixed use,
mm-hmm.
where you have two different types of uses in one building. And so what our goal is to encourage that type of development over the next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we would do with the zoning today will enable that vision to become a reality.
And also it'll create neighborhoods where they just don't go dark at night. If it's all commercial and it just goes dark at night, it can become a no man's land. If it's commercial/residential, you've got people there, a presence 24 hours a day. And that's better
yes.
for public safety and all sorts of other good things. A vibrant neighborhood.
A vibrant neighborhood is the key. And we already have some infrastructure in place that'll help accommodate that. We have a wonderful trail that comes right there that connects to our Carroll Park.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I say that, H.J. Carroll Park is such an important resource for the community. We want to connect all of the various aspects of the community so that you don't have to get around only in a car.
Right. Get on your bicycle, hoof it. Get around,
yes.
go to the park, go to the store, go home, watch TV, listen to the radio.
Yes. So that's one of our big projects, UGA zoning, and urban growth area zoning. And so we have in Jefferson County, for those listeners that may not be familiar with the terms, we already have one urban growth area, and that is the city of Port Townsend.
Right.
And so in order to be a city, you have to be an urban growth area. And so we're about to have, for the first time, the second urban growth area, and that'll be the Port Havelock-Irondale urban growth area.
It's great. It gives me hope for the future. I know. What are we going to do in the meantime? Greg, you're reaching to your camera. Are you pointing? Are you waving? Do you need to say something? Do you have a question? He's shaking his head. I can't hear you. I think we've lost Greg. Brent, why don't you and I continue? What about your three big ideas? You got your three small ideas, which we've just discussed a little bit. What are the three big ideas? Let's review.
So what I mentioned earlier, the CPACER, I think Commissioner Brotherton, Greg, identified that community members approached us saying, this is a valuable program. It's embedded with climate change. And so for commercial properties.
I'm going to stop you there. CPACER, it's called. C-P-A-C-E.
Yeah. And I'm going to explain that again.
Okay.
Commercial property.
Yeah.
Assess clean energy and resiliency. It's a mouthful, I know.
Wow, okay.
And so that goal is to reduce the contribution of our commercial sector, which includes ag as well, multifamily structures as well, from their contribution to greenhouse gases. And so in return for doing something that benefits the community, those property owners get essentially a fiscal break. They get to amortize their debt over a longer period of time. Mm. And so CPACER is really good. I see so many opportunities within, and I should point out, this program is not only within the county, it includes the city of Port Townsend as well. So it's available across the board.
Super.
And of course, it's very timely also. Sorry about my fumbling for the mute button before, but with interest rates going up and everything, if we want to attract development, especially if we want to, you know, encourage that development into affordable housing or something that fits in with the comp plan, then we really need to give more tools as interest rates are much higher than they have been for the last few years to encourage that development.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Fran, go ahead.
Yeah, and that's one of the current difficulties that a lot of property owners are not only commercial, but private as well, are experiencing. And so every tool in the toolbox we have to use, and this is one tool that we have available to us.
So by making their places, whether they're homes or businesses, less carbon emitting, what's the best word to describe it?
You know, almost just sustainable.
Sustainable. You could, right.
Yeah. And when I say that, it includes like if you're doing upgrades to your property to make it flood resilient, mm-hmm. earthquake resilient, those are qualifying projects. Okay. If you are a multifamily, when I say multifamily, we're talking about 5 units or more.
Okay.
Then you can qualify for this. If you're an agricultural building or an ag commercial structure, you would qualify if you do improvements that meet either seismic upgrades, flood sustainability, or energy. And right. So if you want to know more, you can contact me, bbutler@co.jefferson.wa.us. We're really hopeful that many members of the community that already own buildings will take advantage of this.
But just to be clear, Jim, this is not really good for, it's not applicable to single-family residents. So
yeah,
it's,
I get
it's for
that.
Commercial.
Yeah, I'm right. glad you straightened me out on
five
that.
Units, yeah. And we consider 5 units or more a commercial in this regard.
Okay. It's all very exciting. So property owners who have a five unit apartment building or something bigger than that, they could also do solar, other ways that they can make their places more efficient, improve their windows, their insulation, et cetera, I assume.
Yes. And also to the heart of what you mentioned earlier, mixed use buildings also qualify.
Right.
So another use that would benefit from this program.
It sounds good. Let's see. And then what else? We on here, I see we got stock plans. What is a stock plan?
So a stock plan is a off-the-shelf plan. You can come into the Department of Community Development and you can say, I saw that you have a plan available that I'd like to build. And so instead of paying $15,000 or more for an architect to build it, to design it, we have a, we will have, and I should say we don't have those yet, but we're recommending that all you listeners look at our website. Just Google stock plans. About June 15th, we'll be posting a group of plans on our website. And we're hopeful that you can identify the plans that you like the most. Because the first step is that we're going to post all of the plans up on the website that we've received. And we're going to ask the community to just tell us what plans work for them. Mm-hmm. We've been trying to find plans that are easy to build, one that are accessible to, and that we see the community has an interest in those.
Right.
And so it's going to be really important because those plans that have been identified as of interest by community members will be brought to the board so that they can fund plan review. That's a critical step. Because typically, when you buy plans, you have to pay for the plan review. Okay. But we're trying to get plans available that you can just come in to DCD, Department of Community Development, and say, I saw a plan, we might call it the Willow Plan. We would like to buy the Willow Plan. And then we will facilitate that, streamlining the process. Critical.
I see how it could save time and money. To a great degree and actually get things built faster and get places like Hadlock up to speed in a hurry, which would be great. I mean, why have a sewer if nobody uses it?
Right. And Jim, we really do want to figure out what are the kind of stock plans that are going to be, that are going to work for the people, you know? I mean, so there's a variety. They're basically, you know, an ADU with a garage under it or an ADU building or a larger house too. And Clallam County's experimented with this before, and they had just like one plan that was a small ADU, and they didn't get a lot of subscription for it. So we're really, we really want information from the public to make sure that we have the plans out there that we utilize, you know, efficiently to save money and time as we go down this road.
So getting you want to get community involvement on June 15th when the plans go up there. When some of them, I assume there, some of them are going to go up on June 15th, and then over time more will get up there on the website.
Good question. So we're going to put them up June 15th, and they should stay up to just July 5th.
Okay.
And so be a couple of weeks for people to look at the plans, identify plans that they want. Our goal is really to copy the success of the city of Seattle. They had a 2.5-fold increase in the development of accessory dwelling units.
Wow.
Through making these plans available. Now, I mind you, these plans could be used for the primary residence, too. But accessory dwelling unit is also another a potential use. And I should point out that the city of Seattle, the city of Port Townsend, is also using this call for projects to accommodate the city of Port Townsend's needs for plans.
Right.
So we're working collaboratively on this process.
And that's great. And of course, that could help with infill housing and fun stuff like that, where people want to lend a little bit more of the space on their land to more housing or development.
And Jim, one other thing on this is that the origin of these plans is kind of interesting. So Brent referenced the city of Seattle. We have, I think, 3 or 4 plans the city of Seattle had put out that were approved by the Planning Commission. And then DCD also opened it up to local architects and designers to submit plans, too. So that period is just ending, I believe. And that's why this June 15th date is kind of a period at which we're finding out which ones we go through that plan review and spend the extra staff time to really make them workable within the county. So that's why it's that timeline.
Okay. So if people go to co.jefferson.gov. Where do they go from there, Brent, to find these plans?
You know, the best way to do it is if you just go to Google and you type in stock plans, Jefferson County, Washington.
Wow.
You'll get to the page.
Okay.
That's probably the fastest way.
Google it, folks. Yeah. Stock plans, Jefferson County, Washington. Don't wind up in Jefferson County, Alabama. That's not going to help. There's Jefferson counties all across
Colorado.
The country.
Oh, really? Colorado's got a big web presence.
I know. They do. We've got about 2 minutes, guys. Any last words? I know it's a very short period of time.
Oh, I had my own big question for Brent, but please. I think we'll have to just come back.
Can you make it a little question and just get it in the last minute and a half?
Sure, I'll make it a little question. So we might I'm really get interested one... right now
yeah, go ahead.
In park models. So park models are RVs that are usually stick-built, and they are permitted by ANSI, which permits RVs and park models. And they often come in, and you could do a site development review and prep a septic system and everything and put the appropriate infrastructure in. And as long as you keep them on wheels, you can move them in with no building permit locally. And I guess I am looking for opportunities where we can have less permits. So my question for you, Brent, is there a way that we can say, hey, with these ANSI-approved park models, because they're not legal for permanent residents. They're only legal for short-term residents. So, you know, we didn't even get into the conundrum with short-term rentals, and now that's taking housing supply off the books. But the very permit pathway that's around these park models for these residential properties means that they can be used for an Airbnb, but they couldn't be used for a long-term rental. And I'm wondering, is there a pathway where we could say proactively, hey, if it's an ANSI-approved park model, you can take it off wheels, you know, go through the site development review, build a septic system, get water and electricity, and you're good. You don't have to do anything else. Plan review. Just go and treat it like a long-term accommodations.
And do it up.
And you hit it right on the head. Already, DCD does not issue permits for these, but approval from environmental health for water and septic hookups is still required. And so, and I just wanted to hit what you've indicated. They're typically built on a single chassis and mounted on wheels. And we do have anyone that Googles, and Google again, Jefferson County, Washington, you can hit ask for brochure number 16. And it provides information about how to permit these currently. And it also, that brochure also explains what is a manufactured mobile modular as well. So it helps clarify some of the confusion community members may have.
Super duper. All right. Well, I think we're out of time on County Connections. Thank you, Brent Butler. Thank you, Greg Brotherton. I'm Jim Burke. I got to get DJ Wuz in here with word songs in 4 minutes. So I'm going to play some weather report, and we're going to see you guys later. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
This is KPTZ. Port Townsend. Thank you.